Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Monday Night Raw post show here on Fightful. It is Monday, September 23rd. It's Denise Salcedo. I am filling in for Sean Ross Sapp. But with me here today of Grapsity, we got Phil Lindsay. Phil, what is up? How are you?
Well, aren't I technically filling in for Sean because you're always here? So
Daddy, you're right. So technically, here's the thing. We're both right. I'm filling in for Sean's spot. You're filling in for my spot. I don't know what we're doing. We're playing musical chairs is what we're doing.
You gotta be careful, man. Musical chairs can get kind of violent. I've seen people like get into fights over musical chairs. It was a whole thing on the Vince Staples show, which is a great show if you haven't watched it.
No, I haven't seen that, but I've played my fair share of musical chairs. And let me tell you, when you're in a situation where you're like half your body's on the chair and the other person's half of the body's on the chair, that's it. You gotta throw down. You don't throw down, you ain't winning, man. You gotta do what you can to get the win.
Just saying, I've seen someone get pushed out of a chair during musical chairs and it did not go well.
Well, let me tell you something that did go well for someone here today, and that is Jey Uso, guys. We got a brand new Intercontinental Champion. Jey Uso finally has gold, and that is really our big topic here today. We got so much more to get into, of course, because this was a pretty entertaining Raw. Phil, let's kind of start there. Like, overall, how did you feel about the show in terms of what you saw?
I thought the stuff that, like the storyline stuff was good. There was some stuff that was like, kind of ready for this to be over. The initial segment, like the start of the show, I was like, man, think I'm ready, man. I think I'm ready for Rhea to move on to something else, man.
Are you serious? You're done with this Rhea Ripley Liv Morgan story?
I'm ready, man.
Why is that?
I think they've made a good use of like the continuity and stuff between her and Liv. I think that they've milked everything they could out of this, but I think it's time, man.
All right. Well, I'm curious to see how the chat feels, how you guys feel. Of course, you are more than welcome to send in any super chats or humper chats. We will be reading them throughout the entire show, getting everybody's reaction on all of the major things that went down here. We're going to kick things off with our first super chat. And this is actually from our good friend Grapple Geekery, who says, I acknowledge my tribal chief, Phil Lindsay, and his enforcer, the so Mexican werewolf, Denise Salcedo, just needs the wise man, righteous red.
The what?
Wait, I'm the so Mexican werewolf is like my new favorite thing ever.
That is hilarious.
And I got called the meat today. The meat Salcedo and the yeet Salcedo. And now, so I got the meat Salcedo, the yeet Salcedo, and the so Mexican werewolf. Okay. I don't know, Phil. Some good stuff there. Are you okay with being the tribal chief? I feel like that's an honor.
That's been a bit since last week because someone tweeted something at me and I was like, I've never heard anybody call me that. And so that's then turned into a bit that's now, I guess it's a thing.
Hey, throw up them ones, man. We got Phil Lindsay in the house. We acknowledge Phil Lindsay in this house, everybody. I love it. All right. So let's go ahead and get started there. Since we talked about this Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio situation. So, Phil, I know you mentioned that you're over it, that you're kind of done, you're ready to move on. But I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to this one-on-one match that we're going to be seeing on Bad Blood. Because at the start of Monday Night Raw, we learned that we are going to be having Dominic Mysterio inside a shark cage. He is going to be at the very, very top inside the shark cage. And we know that changes the dynamic of the match. Originally, it was just going to be just that, just Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan. But now we got this added stipulation. What was your reaction to that?
That was part of my thinking of me being like, yeah, I'm ready, man. Because when they initially came out and they did the extended victory lap around the ring and Dom picked up Liv and then they walked around the ring and then Liv started cutting her promo, I was just like, yeah. Get to the match, man. Let's get to the finish. This it's time. Wrap it up. I think stuff like Dom saying I'm not going back when they were talking about putting him behind the bars in the cage was funny, but also I just want to see Rhea wrestle, man. Like I think this character stuff with her and Liv has gone on too long.
See, I'm still into it. And the reason that I'm still into it is because they've had some funny lines, right? They had some moments like today, for example, when Rhea Ripley headbutted Liv Morgan, I just kept thinking like, holy shit, that was probably one of my favorite headbutts that she's ever done. Because, you know, Rhea Ripley does those and they just look really, really killer. And I felt like she practically decapitated Liv Morgan when she hit her with that headbutt. And so for me, I think the interactions are still hitting hard because like, even for example, when Rhea was talking all her shit to Liv Morgan, you can see Dominic Mysterio immediately behind Liv Morgan, just like cowering behind her and sticking his tongue out at Rhea Ripley. And I kind of liked that. Like I liked that Rhea Ripley is this terrifying figure to Dominic.
Yeah, I thought the headbutt looked good. But even when they were talking about doing the shark cage, I was like, okay. Usually when they do some stipulation like this in wrestling and they take the other person out that may interfere, somebody else is going to interfere. And I had this sinking suspicion while watching it. I was like, okay, that's probably how Raquel is going to come back. She's going to side with Liv and Liv is going to retain. And I hope that that's not true, but I could easily see that happening.
See, here's the thing. I feel like going into this match, the whole time I was thinking that Rhea Ripley was going to get her title back. That was my assumption based off of what they had originally announced. Once they announced the shark cage, I do think that I still think Rhea is getting her title back. Like part of me does feel like this is the end, but they could continue to stretch it. Now, there are certain scenarios. So you mentioned Raquel returning, which, by the way, I would be happy if she returned because I miss her. And I feel like, you know, she's been gone because of, you know, the stuff that she's dealing with that has sort of been out of her control. So I would like for her to come back, right? But the other options that I'm sort of thinking of in terms of the shark cage is like, we got to see Dominic Mysterio fall off of that thing. Like, isn't that like a given or is that too extreme?
I don't know, but like I said, the fact that they're taking Dom out of the equation just leads me to believe something else is going to happen here. That's what I immediately thought watching this, and you know, I could be wrong. But to me,
he's not out of the equation. To me, he becomes even more so of the equation by being up there because you're wondering how is he going to get down. You know, something's going to happen to Dominic Mysterio. Like, he's not just going to be sitting there counting roses.
Well, I mean, out of equation, so he won't be ringside, so he can't interfere and help her win. But that's why I think something else is going to happen. And listen, I would like for Raquel to come back as a heel because I think she's better as a heel. But I'm just ready for Rhea to move on to something else. I'm ready for her to be in another feud.
I have a feeling they're going to keep milking this as much as possible because it's doing numbers, Phil. People love this shit. Like, people love to see Liv and Dom together, and especially Rhea when this all gets added in. It feels like people are definitely interested in that. We have another super chat here from Matt Logan who says, hey guys, after tonight, WWE will add at least one more match to Bad Blood. Is there a match that we're still like, okay, are they going to, you know, announce this for Bad Blood or are they not going to announce it for Bad Blood? Because right now, they essentially have quite a few matches. We have four matches right now. It's CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre in the Hell in a Cell, the Damian Priest Finn Balor match, the Liv Morgan Rhea Ripley match with Dom in the Shark Cage, the tag team match Solo and Jacob Fatu versus Cody and Roman.
He needs something else from SmackDown, right? Because there are a lot of Raw matches. That's right.
It's the Nia Jax match. I'm sorry. We completely forgot about that. It's the Nia Jax match. She's either going to face Naomi or Bayley. So that match is going to definitely be added soon.
Right.
So it's looking like that might actually be it there, unless they add something else. But it's looking like, because lately they've been doing five matches on the show.
Right. So I assume it's going to be around five or six matches.
All right. We got Dream Ninja here who says, to be fair, anything Rhea does is going to do numbers.
You know, points were made.
Points were definitely made, Dream Ninja. Thank you so much for sending this in. We appreciate you, man. And yeah. Rhea Ripley is a draw. She really, really is a draw. Now, I do want to go ahead and get into the Intercontinental Championship match because that really is the big thing of the show. So I want to get to that right now, and then we'll work our way into some of the other hot topics of the day. So the Intercontinental Championship was on the line, Bron Breakker against Jey Uso. Now, I don't know how many people or what everybody's expectations were heading into this match. I don't know how many of you guys thought that Bron Breakker was walking out as champ or that Jey Uso was going to defeat him. I feel like this one was sort of a toss-up going into it, Phil, because a lot of people were wondering, like, hey, Bron Breakker is Bron Breakker. We know he's on a hot streak. But Jey Uso has been trying to get singles gold for the longest time. Going into the show, where were you at in regards to this?
Well, I was completely wrong because if you watch Grapsody Saturday at noon on this very YouTube channel, I did an entire take where I said it kind of feels like Jey as a singles wrestler has peaked. And I was like, I don't know where he goes from here because I don't think he's going to win this match. And lo and behold, he won. So guess I was wrong.
Damn, are you disappointed? Are you disappointed that he won, or are you happy that you were wrong?
No, I think he needed to win because I think if he lost here, and they kept putting over on commentary that this is what his seventh attempt at winning a singles title, and so if you got him up to seven attempts and he lost again, I don't know how you could come back from that.
Dude, that's the thing. Everybody was wondering, like, okay, if Jey Uso doesn't win the Intercontinental Championship, where does he go from here? And so it kind of felt like we were running into this wall. But at the same time, it's weird because even though Jey Uso had been going for the title, for just singles gold, period, it felt like it was just bad timing for Jey Uso. Because, okay, you know, World Heavyweight Championship, Gunther was killing it, doing his thing. Damian Priest was killing it, doing his thing. And then on this side of the Intercontinental, for excuse me, for now, for this title here with Bron Breakker, it felt like it was just bad timing across the board for Jey Uso. It felt like, yeah, you could be champion, but right now we got other options, other people that were sort of, it's working out for them. And to me, Bron Breakker's reign as champ could have easily gone a whole long time. However, because Bron Breakker's future does feel so bright, it does feel like it doesn't hurt Bron Breakker, in my opinion. Right now, Bron Breakker losing the title to Jey Uso, it doesn't feel like it hurts him. At least that's how I feel about it. I don't feel like it hurts him at all.
No, I don't think it hurts him either. I think that he was a great champion for the time that he had the belt. And that's kind of why I felt like he was going to win here, because it felt like, oh, they're not done with Bron. They're clearly invested in him. He's gotten his catchphrase over. He's vastly improved during this time as a heel on the main roster. So I figured like this was just the beginning of that run. I was very shocked that they were cutting it short. But also, like I said, Jey needed this win. You could not have him come in and lose for a seventh time. And then if you're going back to doing the Bloodline stuff with him later this year, Survivor Series, you couldn't prove Roman right, because Roman's whole point is you're main event Jey because I made you main event Jey. So he had to come away from Raw and get an accomplishment on his own away from them, or else it all would have felt pointless. And I mean, even Bron pointing it out last week in the promo of, I didn't need my family to win. You needed them to get here, and without them, you can't win. So he needed to prove that wrong.
No, dude, you're so right, because you don't want to have that on your back of people being like, oh, we were right all along and you suck and you couldn't make it on your own over there on Raw. You couldn't, like you said, main event Jey Uso, but you actually can't even win any titles. Like, at this point, I think people were starting to sort of feel bad for Jey Uso. I really do think like there were some people like that I've seen on social media, on the chats and things like that, that were like, damn, poor Jey Uso, like he keeps going for it, but it's just not his time. It hasn't worked out for him. And so it felt like now he needed it. Like he really, yeah, really did need it. I think it would have hurt Jey Uso more to lose tonight than anything. I really do think at this point, had he lost to Bron Breakker, it would have hurt him. And I had a feeling, Phil, but I still wasn't totally convinced, right? Going into
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
But I was honestly 50-50. And when Bron Breakker did his promo backstage and he said that he wanted, or that he was going to be champion forever, the moment he said that, I thought, he's losing tonight. he is so losing tonight because I almost felt like he jinxed himself, right? And so to me, that was the moment where I realized that Jey Uso was winning. But then when the match started, I kind of wasn't really into like the first couple of minutes. And so I kind of started to lose a little hope. But by the end of it, I felt like, first of all, I got so much better towards the end and the crowd was really into it. Ontario was a hot crowd. And by the end of it, I'm like, oh my God, Jey Uso needs to win here. Like I can feel the moment coming for him.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of the pacing of this match. I thought it started very slow. The beginning of this match started with a lot of Bryan beating him down and a lot of, you know, trying to build up to those hope spots for Jey. But I thought it was worth it in the end. I thought that once it picked up, it got better and better into the final stretch. The end of it where Jey hit that spear and then hit the Uso splash from the top, it felt very abrupt at first, but I was like, no, this is a good finish. I thought that this was a good way to finish it off. I wish we got more time with Jey's celebration before they cut us off, but can't have it all, I guess, man.
Yeah, it did end pretty fast, but you know, USA on that time, the second it hits 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, at least for us, well, at least for me, never mind. For me, they ended right then and there, man. But let me tell you something, though. If you too feel it coming and you don't want it just to end right there, make sure to get Blue Chew, code Fightful.
Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence, and a main event deal. Go to BlueChew.com and use the code Fightful and you will get Blue Chew with their first shipment for free. Shipment? Yeah, I said shipment. No waiting in line at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. You take their online exam and then if approved, it ships straight to your door. That's right. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and much more affordable. How can you pass up on this? How can you pass up on that confidence? How can you pass up on that performance? How can you pass up on making your sex life better? That's what Blue Chew is here to do. You don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. Just get that additional performance. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
Alrighty, everyone, we are back here and let's get into these super chats. All right, here we go. We got Brandon Caballero here who says, I feel like Jey only has it for a week, to be honest. Ooh, what do you think, Phil?
No, I think he'll hold it for a minute because, like I said, I think that that's a big part of the build getting into Survivor Series that he succeeded on his own. I think having him win the title and then just lose it a week later would be kind of... I think it would do a disservice to him and then it would do a disservice to Bryan because it would feel like an unnecessary loss if you just did that.
Dude, I honestly feel you on that. I think it would be kind of messed up. And it's not like Jey Uso, he's over with the Yeet stuff. Everybody yeah. likes the entrance. He gets such a good reaction. He's doing great numbers with merchandise. I mean, I literally see his shirt, his Yeet shirt, freaking everywhere. Yeet has sort of become now all of those chants that we have in pro wrestling now. Yeet has officially stuck for pro wrestling fans. So I personally feel like, dude, you got to reward the guy. He's done such great work. You mentioned the bloodline stuff, did such great work there. So to me, I feel like he has earned a pretty nice little lengthy run. I'm not saying a year or anything, a couple months, sure. I think they could do something fun there.
I think at least till November. I don't know. That's not that long. About like a good like 60-day run or something like that or longer. I don't think you need to take the belt off of him right away.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I could see him even holding it all the way till Royal Rumble. I'd be down with that.
Yeah, Rikishi made the call. Like, man, what are you doing with my boy, man? You got to put this belt on him. Like, you still got him doing this romance stuff. Like, enough, man. Put the belt on my kid, man.
Hey, he did say all of that. He did say that. All right, let's see what else we got here. We got Tim Weinbrenner here who says, good for Jey. Braun should get a world title push. Dude, Gunther, Braun Breaker, I don't know if we'll get to that, but damn, that would be freaking sick if we did. But I don't know. I think it'll be a second till we get to see Braun in the title picture. You think it'll happen sooner than later?
I think it's a little soon, but... I think that this run with the IC title and everything he did after King and Queen of the Ring has proved to me that he's a future world champion. Like, I think right now with the catchphrase and everything he's got going, he's going to be eventually ready. He doesn't feel like the main character on Raw, and that's why I can't really buy into him being champion just yet.
For Braun?
Yeah.
I see what you mean, but I think he can easily get there, though. If they wanted to make him feel like the main character on the show, they can get there.
He can. I just mean, like, within, like, the next few weeks. I don't think that that's why he dropped the title here. That's what I mean. I don't think he dropped the title to move up to a world title picture.
All right. You know what would be kind of cool? Okay. Hear me out. Okay, hear me out. Everybody hear me out on this one. What if after we're done with Braun Strowman and Bronson Reed, whoever wins that, goes on for another meat feud, but with Braun Breaker? Is it too much, too good?
But see, that's what I was saying Saturday. I thought that after this Braun feud that Bronson was going to move on and he would eventually beat Braun Breaker. But I don't know now. But I think Bronson versus Braun Breaker could be a good feud. I thought it was going to be the next feud for the IC title, but again, I was wrong.
Oh, this one's also interesting. I got to point this out. This is from Dan Jackson here, who says Braun Breaker versus Punk. See, normally I would have been like, oh, you're dreaming, right? But no, CM Punk did mention Braun Breaker's name on NXT.
He did.
And that they would be in a match together. He said it would be, you know, it would happen.
Yeah, he did. I do think that Punk is going to go for the world title before the end of this year. I think he's going to challenge Gunther before the end of this year.
Oh, man, there's so much good stuff here. I do also have to mention this one here from Joe, who says Braun versus Braun versus Bronson.
Dude. A lot of Braun.
Oh, man. I'd be getting thrown off, Phil. Has it happened to you when you're trying to say Braun, Bronson, and you start saying like the wrong name? Because it's happened to me like 100 times already.
You just got to say, you got to say Braun like it, like you have like a New York accent, like Braun.
Braun, just like really emphasize it.
Braun.
All right. We got Jay Miller 3389, who says the women's title just feels insignificant. The story is more about Dom than the title, and it's hampering the rest of the women's division. Well, Phil, I know that you haven't been, you know, necessarily feeling this anymore. In terms of hampering the rest of the division, it's hard to say right now because on the tag team side of things are starting to build up a little bit, right? The women's tag titles. We'll talk more about that. But in terms of the bar has been set so high for the singles women's division that now we've just gotten accustomed to this really high standard of pro wrestling for the singles for the women. So it does kind of feel like we could be getting a lot more there. But because we are focusing on Liv and Rhea, it has kind of taken away a little bit of some of the other cool matches that we could be seeing in the singles division.
Yeah, that's kind of why I kind of am ready for Rhea to move on, because they've been doing the storyline with her and Liv for a while, and there hasn't been any other contenders that they've built up for that title. Liv barely defends it, which, I mean, I get that's part of the character and stuff, but I don't know. And that's also why I kind of don't think Liv is going to lose at Bad Blood, because if Rhea wins, they have no one else set up to challenge for that belt.
Dude, you know who they can set up? I know, even though she was just a champion, I know, but she's been on freaking fire lately. Io Sky, dude.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Holy shit. I feel like she's on a whole other wavelength, and even just, she's been incredible, but I even feel like just the last 2 weeks, she's has suddenly just like been, we were just reminded of who Io Sky is. And so there you go. That's an option. But we'll talk about her a little bit more in just a second, because we got Rock Hard Joe Wood here, who says, now that Jay won the title, how does he get back into the Bloodline story? We are 2 months from Survivor Series. Does he lose it back to Braun before then? So, Phil, you spoke a whole lot about this with him sort of proving himself to the Bloodline and proving that he can become a champion. So you mentioned this playing into War Games. How do you see this sort of culminating?
I'm not sure, because again, I did not think he was going to win here. So I'm very curious to see how long he's going to hold this belt, but, I do think it would be a nice note for the War Games match if Roman does come asking for his help. And this time around, Jay is carrying championship gold, but Roman is not.
So all of a sudden it makes it like he's, you know, ranking a little higher than Roman Reigns, however you want to look at that.
Yeah,
I know it's hard to say.
he could easily be looking around like, wait a minute, you said that I needed you. I don't need you. But, oh, how the tables have turned. Now that Solo is playing a numbers game against you, you need me, not the other way around.
Dude, I don't know. I love that because I feel like even Roman could say, you know, we've had our issues. We've had our whatever, kind of recap a little bit of everything that's happened between them and say, but you're now an intercontinental champion. And hey, like you said, I need you to do me a favor. Come join War Games. I don't know. I feel like that could be something, or just the way that they play along to it, obviously in different words, because I don't think Roman Reigns would use any of those words, but regardless, he would come up with a better way to say that. But dude, I think he does. I think I'm on your side, Phil. I think he goes into War Games as champion. We got Yes Boy here who says, just left Raw. I lost my voice making barking sounds, but my nephews and I got to take a picture with CVV after the show. Also glad they finally listened to Rikishi. Damn, Rikishi was really making sure he was out here being heard, man.
Yeah, I've seen Chris Van Fleet at shows, and I've seen how people react to him. This guy's a rock star. I've seen him, but people will just like flood around him trying to get pictures, man. Shout out to Van Fleet.
I love it. He's a great guy. Thank you so much to Yes Boy. I'm glad you had a good time, man. The crowd was good, so excited that you were part of a good crowd there. All right, and let's go ahead and keep this going. I want to go ahead and get into our next topic here. So let's work our way backwards now. And I want to get into, since we mentioned Kairi Sane, let's talk about this here. We did get a tag team match with Isla Dawn and Alba Fire versus Io Sky and Kairi Sane. And dude, I mean, I was, during this match, there was a moment where Io just went into this whole other gear, dude. She went from 0 to 100. She was doing so many flips and things. I couldn't even make out everything that she was doing. She was just moving so fast right before my eyes, like a firecracker. And they get the win. Kairi and Io Sky, they get their victory. And I was so glad because I didn't want to see them lose here, Phil. I honestly did not want to see them lose here because coming off of last week, that match with Io and Bianca, that was match of the night. Sean and I talked about it. It was freaking great last week. But I want to see them keep going. Like, this feels like a very, very confident team, at least especially for Io. I'm feeling this whole new level of confidence. She is just exuding it, man.
I was glad that she got the win last week. They're continuing this story of Bianca in 2024 struggling as a singles competitor. And I think it's good because you could see this going either way. Bianca could possibly turn heel coming out of this, or Jay can turn heel and turn on her. And I'm 50-50 on which way it could go, but I think it's an interesting storyline they're putting together. And I liked the stuff that they had backstage before the match where Bianca and Jay were telling them, like, hey, you may have got one over us last week, but you guys still have problems with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. So let's see you get past them first, and then maybe we'll talk. And so immediately when I was thinking that, I was like, yeah, Jay's doing a lot of talking in this because I think this is leading to them winning the match and then getting the tag titles match against them. And I think that time around, they're going to win, which furthers this idea that Bianca is struggling to win on her own. But yeah, I thought the match was great. I thought Io continues to be on a tear. She is fantastic to watch. That kip up she does and does like all the flips out of it, she's just amazing, man. Like, it's a shame that I don't think that her singles title run got the praise that it should have, because like the damage control storyline going into WrestleMania was good. I just wish she would have gotten some more defenses going into it. AEW does this thing where if they know someone's going to have a short title run, they kind of load up the title defenses so you can see the champion wrestle more. And I wish they would have done that with Io, because she's just such a great wrestler.
Yeah, no, I agree with you in terms of Io Sky. I wish she would have had more defenses. And I remember talking about it even when she was champion. It felt like we all know she's a great wrestler. We all know she can have good matches. So why aren't we seeing them? And sure enough, I mean, most of the damage control storyline, it wasn't necessarily, even though Io Sky ended up obviously being in the match with Bayley, it didn't feel like the feud was primarily Io Sky and Bayley. It felt like it was Bayley and damage control as a whole. And then you sort of always had Io Sky sort of in a background position, even though she was champion, which just came off a little bit, you know, different. But because the damage control storyline with Bayley was so good, I think we all decided to look the other direction just because we were having so much fun with it, which is fine. But again, now I feel like, dude, I would want to, I don't know if we can run it back or at least just have some matches there or what can be done here. But I really do think like there's a whole new, I don't know. She just feels different or better, or I don't know how to explain it. Cause I don't want to take away from her past work. She did such a good work, but she does feel different right now.
Well, I think part of it too, is that she's wrestling as a face now. And you know, usually when you wrestle as a face, you can do all the crowd pleasing stuff. You can play up to the crowd and she's so good at that. So yeah, it's tough because I would like to see her back in the world title scene immediately, but I just don't see her winning with what they're currently doing with Rhea.
Yeah, no, it kind of seems like two different worlds in a sort of way. All right, so we got a super chat here from Terry Allen Jr. who says James Ellsworth was in the cage during a match with Asuka versus Carmella Extreme Rules 2018. Chris Jericho was during Roman versus Kevin Owens Royal Rumble. Yeah, and I was just remembering the one with Enzo Amore, where he was in the shark cage as well. That's one that always pops up into my head too. So we've had
where he somehow ended up in his underwear when he got out. Like
he like slid out of the cage. I forgot how he did it, but he like slid out.
Yeah, he started taking off his clothes to get out.
That's why I'm telling you something freaking hilarious. Hopefully, is gonna happen to Dominic Mysterio. Something funny has to happen. He has to get punished for what he did to Rhea Ripley.
Of course, shark cage matches aren't really my cup of tea. And I know it's going to go in the, you know, the comedy stuff. And I don't know.
It's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it. I like to laugh, Phil.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fine, but I just get to the grabs, man. I just want to see some wrestling.
Thank you so much, Terry. We just want to see the wrestling. That is all. All right. Well, speaking of the wrestling, let's talk about this Sami Zayn Ludwig Kaiser match, because primarily this was Ludwig Kaiser on the offense and pretty much had the entire 95% of this match was Ludwig Kaiser beating on Sami Zayn until Sami finally got an opportunity to get his hands on Ludwig, hits him with the Helluva kick, and finally gets this win. But the whole time that I was watching this match, I kept thinking to myself, damn, I'm really liking Ludwig Kaiser getting an opportunity to really, really shine as a heel. He looks so good out there, and he's so cocky. I love that. And that was really the biggest thing that I was thinking about while I was watching Sammy and Ludwig. What'd you think of the match portion of this?
I can't get over how over Ludwig was in Berlin. And ever since then, I've been like, dude, this guy felt like a massive star in front of that crowd. And I liked him a lot here. Sami is so good at doing the babyface and peril stuff, and he was great all the way to his comeback by the end of the match. It felt believable. It felt good. But I thought Ludwig played his role very well here. I thought this was a good match to start the show.
No, you know, he really, really did. And I think people are starting to see, they're starting to see a bunch of stuff, right? They're starting to see him in this role where he can definitely be a single star on his own eventually. Like, I cannot wait until we see him feud with Gunther. That's going to be huge. That's going to be massive, right? But you can also see that the company sees it, right? Even in these little matches and the way that they work the match, you can tell that the company sees it, that they see the potential that they have in Ludwig Kaiser.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are a few things that I can see out of this already. Like, man, the eventual stare down between him and Giovanni Vinci in like a Royal Rumble or something, and like the way they play off each other is going to be cool too.
Dude, I was dying. I was dying when Gunther came out because he comes out in his gear, okay? He comes out in his gear. He comes out with his championship and he makes it seem like he's going to face Sami Zayn. He even says like, you want this match? You want this match tonight in Ontario? And I got to hand it to Gunther because he really, really made me believe that this match was going to happen. And I even thought, damn, Gunther, that's kind of messed up because Sami Zayn just wrestled a match where he got his ass whooped most of it. And now you want this match? You want this man to go into another match for the World Heavyweight Championship right now? I kind of thought it was a little messed up, right? But I'm like, okay, fine.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, you black men out there tried to hide your criminal records and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights. We can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sammy will do what he does, but it was a swerve. Well, it was a lie. Gunther said, hell no, this match is not going to happen here today, and it did not happen. And the thing that I was thinking the most was Gunther is a master troll, Phil. This yes. man is such a troll. We should all be taking lessons from Gunther. He's a troll. I love it.
He's great. I think there were a lot of unfair criticisms of Gunther, especially going into Bash in Berlin. And people were like, I don't know, man. He hasn't looked as great. And I think that's because Damian Priest got the better of their exchanges a lot going into that match. But I think ever since then, he's been great. Last week where he had that big smirk on his face where he did the Goldberg line, I was like, nah, Gunther's great. And this week where he came out and did in full gear, came out in full gear and like played up this whole time like, yeah, you want the match? You really want the match here in Ontario? No. I thought it was great.
It was because he really sold it, man. I love that guy. That he is my champion, okay? And I agree with everybody saying that he is a master troll, all right?
He's phenomenal, man.
He does some good shit, man. All right, I want to get into some of the other topics from Raw, so I'm just going to work my way down the line of things we haven't talked about. We had Dragon Lee versus Carlito. This was a match that was made backstage. Nothing too crazy to really get into in regards to this. Rey Mysterio comes out, obviously gets a really great pop from the Ontario crowd. Love to see Rey Mysterio helps out Dragon Lee there. And Dragon Lee gets his victory, man. I was happy to see it for Dragon Lee because he kind of appears, reappears, appears, disappears on the show. And so for him to go in there and have this simple little match and get a win over Carlito, I'm so over, I hate to say it, I'm just not really a big fan of either Carlito or JD McDonagh right now. I haven't really been feeling what they've been doing on the show. So for me, I was effing thrilled to see Dragon Lee get this win.
Yes. It's just been a lot of Judgment Day. I think there's been a lot of Judgment Day for months, and I think that they've burned us out on a lot of it. And that's kind of where I feel with the Liv stuff as well. It's just like, I'm just ready for something else, man. And I like for everybody involved, because I like a lot of people that are involved in this, but I'm just ready for something, man. Like, do something with those tag titles, do something with Finn Balor, like, just something else, please.
refresh, hit the refresh button there. I think they did, because I mean, with the whole new version of the Judgment Day that we're seeing, but some parts of it just still don't work. Like, the stars are who the stars are, and the stars are Liv and Dom and Rhea and Damian. Those are the stars in all of this. And everybody else, and Finn Balor, of course, but everybody else just sort of feels like, we gotta have you because you're part of the Judgment Day. So again, happy Dragon Lee got this win. On the bright side, though, JD McDonagh did confront Ilya Dragunov backstage, so it does look like there's going to be something there between them, and I cannot wait for Ilya Dragunov just to rip JD McDonagh to shreds. Sorry, JD McDonagh, he didn't even do nothing to me.
No, he had that offensive man bun tonight. That's what he did.
Actually, pretty nice man bun, though. It was good. That wasn't a bad man bun. I gotta appreciate a good man bun. All right. Well, the next thing that I can't wait to cover. Oh man, this was fun. All right. So this was supposed to be a match between The Miz and Miz and Braun Strowman, right? But Bronson Reed came in and ended up just attacking Braun Strowman. And they had already been fighting since the top of Monday Night Raw from the very beginning, right? They can't keep their hands off of each other. They're pissed, right? That's all we're getting. They're pissed. And they end up doing this brawl. I mean, so much shit happens. They got securities coming through. They're fighting in and out of the ring. It gets really, really crazy. And a match was made for next week. So next week, we're going to be getting a last monster standing match. That's what we're doing. A last monster standing match between Braun and Bronson Reed. So I'm really, really looking forward to this. I think they've done a really great job of just building these guys as both monsters. And they really hate each other. They really hate each other, but they also really get very violent with each other. And that has been working very nicely, at least for me, man. I love this stuff. The promo that they did too, where freaking Bronson Reed is walking as a tsunami on the ocean, and then you got Braun Strowman walking in the buildings and all of that. That was freaking cool. Probably one of my favorite little promos, video promos that they've done for like a match in a while.
Yeah. I think what they've been doing with Bronson has been great. Ever since he jumped Seth Rollins in that segment, this has been a great glow up for him. He's been fantastic in everything they put him in. Even that week where he couldn't be in the Intercontinental title tournament and he came back and jumped Braun, I thought that was great. And Braun desperately needed this, because for a while he felt kind of directionless. And so he needed a feud like this very badly. And I thought that this has worked out very well. Starting the show with Liv and Dom walking in and they're like fighting in the merch stands. And I thought that was cool. Then continuing it into the match was great. And then, like you said, that vignette they showed with Bronson basically walking through the water like Godzilla. And then Braun is in the city like King Kong. I thought all that was cool.
Dude, that was sick, man. And by the way, so it's funny because Zach Fisher here says, do you think the ring collapses next week? I thought they were going to collapse the ring today for a second because they teased that spot. But then all of the security came in like little ants and just kind of ruined the moment. But I did for a split second think that the ring was going to break here today. I did think it.
Yeah,
we got Jonathan Corona here who says, holy shit, I was at the Toyota Arena in Ontario and goddamn, that was a good show. And tonight was awesome. Damn, can't believe it. I love Jonathan's super chat here because you can tell he's got the I just went to a good show energy.
Yeah, no, it was a fun show. I thought the crowd was very good throughout. I thought most of the video packages they showed tonight were great. The video package for Pure Fusion Collective was also good. Then they showed another one. They showed the one for what I'm assuming is Viking Raiders. And I immediately got excited because they have the runic letters on there, which some people
Wait,
on Twitter.
The red thing? I thought that was for the Wyatt Six.
No, they had like that flaming circle and then they had the runes in it. I immediately thought Vikings when I saw that. And some people on Twitter looked up the runic letters for it and it spells out war. So I was like, oh, are the War Raiders coming back? That would be awesome.
Oh, shit. It was the one where they said the red, right? Are we talking about something different?
Maybe I'm talking about something different, but it had...
Okay, I think I'm talking about something different.
Yeah, I'm talking about the one where they had the flaming circle that popped up, and then it had the letters in it.
Okay, I think I'm talking about the Wyatt Six thing that they did instead, because I didn't even see the Viking Raiders one.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, there were these are two different things. So I was like, Red, what are you talking about?
I was like, wait a minute, what? I was like, that totally was the Wyatt Six. What is happening here? Okay, got it. The Viking runes. Okay, I missed it on the watch along. That's what people are saying
Just let them be the War Raiders again.
Yeah.
We can forget all that Viking stuff just happened. Like, you've got the War Raiders possibly coming back. You possibly have Lucha Bros coming in, Motor City Machine Guns. Come on, man. Rebuild this tag division. Do cool things with the tag belts, man. It's not that difficult.
We got Jonathan Corona here who says that main event was another level. We were chatting to Braun, walk that dog or talk that dog. Like, goddamn. And my only thing, I was sad, they didn't even had enough pyro. Boo, but it was good. Jonathan Corona, I love your live analysis of getting to be at Monday Night Raw. No, I was very thrilled when they popped out some pyro. I wasn't even expecting any pyro at the end for Jay. And when I heard it, I'm like, ooh, pyro?
Yeah, but again, that's why I was like, man, I wish they would have stayed with the celebration a little bit longer, because we could hear the pyro, but they were like, up, time to go. Cut it off.
Yeah, they were probably just like barely making it on time. But Jonathan, so happy that you had a good time at the show, man. I love it. There was a lot of people here that were at the show. That's great. All right, moving on from this, we need to get into Drew McIntyre preparing for the Hell in a Cell. Basically, McIntyre said that his own family begged him not to do the match, similar to what CM Punk had said about his wife, AJ Lee, also not wanting him to do this match. And Drew McIntyre says his wife also begged him to get away from CM Punk because it affected him, you know, mentally. But Drew essentially promises to make CM Punk bleed and suffer. This was a fine promo, but it did not hit the same way that the CM Punk win, the CM Punk one hit last week, because CM Punk looked into that camera and was so freaking intense and terrifying that I bought it. I was like, bro, I'm afraid of you. But Drew, he kind of did a little bit of the same thing. I wasn't as terrified of Drew, but I think it was maybe just the way that they looked. Like, CM Punk looked really, really intense in that moment, in that promo.
Oh, no, man. Drew McIntyre is a very big man. And just the idea of him telling you that he's going to fling you around a cell and make you bleed and hurt you, I don't know how you can't find that terrifying. Because, again, that is a very big man.
That is true. It's the facials, though, Phil. The facials. Yeah.
I agree. I think it's just a difference in the delivery from both guys. I mean, while I'm saying like Drew is a big imposing guy, Punk's bread and butter is cutting promos. Like, it's hard to out promo that guy. And so, but I agree. I think this feud, if you were coming into the last few weeks of this, like, all right, man, like, this has been going on since January. Get to the rubber match. Let's get through this. I think they've done a lot over the last 2 weeks to make this Hell in a Cell match feel like a big deal, and it needed it. I think the segments the last 2 weeks have been much better than a lot of the stuff from this feud. And so I came away from this very excited for the Cell match.
Did the bracelet not do it for you, Phil?
Yeah, it was time to get away from the bracelet stuff. That went on a little bit too long.
No, I feel you. I'm like, eliminate the bracelet, guys. I liked it in the beginning. I get it. Symbolism. I get it. But we got to get rid of the bracelet, bro. It's too much already. They could have gotten into the stuffing of the beads in CM Punk's mouth a whole lot sooner, I think. But now we've gotten that out of the way. But yeah, you're right. They have found plenty of ways to try to fill in the weeks that they have leading up into these big matches. Like you said, this feud has been going on for a very long time, and they've been finding different ways to keep it alive in between the big matches. So it's been fine. All right, we got Luis Pulido here who says, if we somehow get War Machine, I will be happy. Luis, thank you so much for sending this in.
That's even better. I said War Raiders, but if they just are somehow War Machine again, even better.
Jay Miller 3389 says, Rikishi pulled the Armageddon 2000. I'm a bad man. I love it. Thank you so much, Jay Miller 3389. You rock, man. Thank you so much for sending that in. All right. And we got to get into the New Day stuff. So Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods had a bomb match with the Creeds. This was so much fun. Like, I had a feeling this was going to be good, but by the time the action really kicked in with this, to me, this match really started getting into a whole other level the second Kofi Kingston got into this. The second Kofi Kingston went in there, he did like this really sick crossbody. He did this really great, like, backwards fall thing. I mean, dude was just going out there and doing all these things that you're like, dude, you're making it look so easy. You're making it look like it's easy to be a pro wrestler. And that was the thing that really, really made the match for me really good. But then his interactions with both Julius and with Brutus, and then Brutus hitting the Brutus ball, all of that was so freaking entertaining. Unfortunately, they take the L here, but that's to continue this story that they're telling between Kofi and Xavier, where they're not really on the same page right now. Things just keep going wrong between them. So what'd you think of the match, and where are you at in terms of this story? Because a lot of people are expecting Xavier Woods to turn on Kofi Kingston. He's been really angry lately.
I thought Kofi Kingston was low-key one of the MVPs of this episode. I thought the backstage segment he did was very, very funny. Him showing up with all of that New Day stuff. Like, look, we're still friends. Like, look, remember this? Remember this box of cereal? Remember this? Remember Francesca? And Woods is just like, I don't want to do any of that stuff anymore. He's like, oh, okay. And he almost like, it almost looked like he was ready to throw in this big surprise party. And he's like, oh, well, we don't have to do any of that. It's fine. We can like go out to a quiet dinner or something. Don't worry about it. But so they go and they have this whole conversation. And then the Creeds and Gable comes up, and then they walk away. And then the other guy comes up with like the horn and the big stack of pancakes. And he's like,
yeah, I like that. That was funny. Send back the pancakes. Those pancakes look good too, man. I was like, give me some syrup and a little coffee. Are you kidding me? I'm going to down those right now.
Yeah, that was hilarious. But also, when the match started, man, they wrestled a very good match. I loved that going into the match, Kofi was like, well, don't worry about it. Will you take the lead now? You know, I know that communication hasn't been the best, so you just take the lead. And I thought the way they wrestled this match was great. I thought they still look incredible as a tag team. Some of their tandem offense in this, where they went back and forth with Creeds, was great. But like you said, Kofi in there on his own, you can tell Kofi why he's the most decorated champion of this group, why he was the first guy out of the three of them that was world champion. And he looked it here, because you could immediately look at this like, all right, well, it isn't his fault they lost, because
he got the job done for the most part.
He was getting the job done, which is part of the story here. But also, what's telling him coming into this, we got to compose ourselves. Like, all of this interference stuff, we got to get down to business. But he was the one that couldn't compose himself when Gable kept interfering, and he lost his cool and started beating down Gable, and that's what ultimately cost him the match. I thought that this was great, because the Creeds needed this win, coming out of the Bray Wyatt stuff. But also, I thought it was a great way to continue to advance the storyline with Kofi and Woods. Every time I watch this stuff, it just makes me very anxious. I'm like, dude, don't break up the New Day. Don't do
this. But it's coming. We know it's coming.
I just don't want it, man. And it's not that I don't want it in the sense that the storyline is not good. It's just, I just can't imagine one of them turning on each other. It's just, no, I just don't want it. I don't want to see it. It hurts.
You think you're going to cry?
I just don't want to see it, man. Like, it's going to hurt. Like, I don't want it. But I think everything they're doing has been fantastic. They took this small thing that started in a Karrion Kross feud, and they've made this into a really compelling story. So kudos to everybody involved. This has been fantastic.
Yeah, I think like the story, especially the backstage segments, all the backstage segments have hit really hard, because it comes across as sincere. I feel like Xavier Woods is sincerely angry. I feel like Kofi Kingston is sincerely trying to fix things. You know, he knows that it's not, he knows that they're not on the same page, and he's trying to fix it. And so everything that they're doing backstage has come with layers too. And I like that, because part of me in the beginning was kind of thinking last week, damn, I kind of agree with Xavier Woods. He should be mad because of this. But then I was also thinking Kofi Kingston is trying, he's making an effort, so I can't be mad at him. And then this week I was thinking a little bit differently. This week I was thinking, damn, Xavier Woods is being a little bit, he's coming across as a little bit more whiny. And Kofi Kingston is coming off as someone who's trying to be reasonable. He is a little bit taken aback by the way that Xavier Woods is acting and some of the things that he says on the show. And Kofi is just kind of like, man, what are we doing here? And so all of that has worked for me because it feels authentic.
Yeah. I think there are a few things going here that add so many layers to it. I think going into it and knowing that Xavier's the only guy out of three of those that hasn't had singles success. But also, he brought those guys together for them to succeed together. And it was never about having your own success. And I think his insecurities have been showing throughout the week, like especially in the segment when LWO comes back there and he's like, oh, so you know better than me because you've won a championship. Oh, you've won a championship too. I thought that was a good layer. But I also think it's great that everything that the New Day has gone through since Kofi lost the championship and just some of the frustrations that you have to assume are there with those three guys, finally getting his big title win and the way that ended and then the injury coming after it. It just kept feeling like there were obstacles after obstacles after obstacles. And you can see on Woods' part just feeling like, all right, man, I thought it was going to be this. You know, I achieved my dream of being King of the Ring and that didn't really get me to the place I wanted to be. But Kofi's kind of looking at it like, no, we're friends. I'm still just enjoying being your friend and having fun. And he's like, that's not enough for me anymore. And I get it. I get it. I think both of them have sound points. It just hurts to see them fight, man. I just don't want to see it, man.
Dude, okay, so both of them have singles matches next week. I have a feeling that Kofi's going to win his, Xavier's going to lose his, and that's going to continue to drive his insecurity. Because like the part where you mentioned where he was talking to Ray and he sort of, you know, was upset that he wasn't a champion, and that it sounded like he was insecure, right? And so I feel like if he loses and Kofi gets a win next week, that's going to drive him up a freaking wall and continue to like build to him eventually turning. So we'll see what happens on that end. But this story has been really, really good. All right, we got Jonathan Caroni here who says, sad, I wanted Woods to turn heel. Damn. Oh, it'll probably happen sooner rather. Well, maybe in the next couple of weeks. I did think for a second it was going to happen during the match because there was a moment, Phil, I don't know if you noticed, where he took a really, really long time to like get that tag to Kofi Kingston. Maybe it was just the camera angle, but I felt like they really emphasized that he was just there for like the longest time. And usually whenever you see a tag team do that, you usually get a camera shot from the back, not from the front. You see what I'm saying? I don't know. I thought it was different.
Yeah. I think it was intentional because I think it was trying to drive home the point that Woods thought he could win the match on his own. And
at Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
And he was reluctant to just tag Kofi in because he felt like he could do it. He felt like he doesn't need to come. He wasn't ready to come out yet. But also, it just plays into New Day lore and just how long it took for Woods to be a part of the winning team to win the belts. Because usually, it would be E and Kofi that won the belts, and then Woods would be part of the team that revolved in to defend them. It took him a very long time to be one of the guys that helped win it, all the way into their SmackDown run. But yeah, I like what they're doing. I do think you're right. I do think he's going to lose to Ray next week. And I do think it's going to continue this infighting with the New Day.
Probably. Jonathan, thank you so much for that super chat, man. We got Margie Loves here who says that match was feel to make the tag team division lit. Love it, man. No, it was a really great freaking match. And I'm such a big fan of the Creeds, too. So I was so happy for them to get that win. And they looked great, man, in their gear. Oh, that gear looked phenomenal. Like, whoever made that, kudos, man. That shit was really, really good.
Yeah, I really like the Creeds, man. They're a great tag team.
They really are. We got Brandon Caballero here who says, New Day are stale. Give me the drama. Fill your heart.
Well, I mean, they did need this because they were not doing anything interesting as a tag team. They definitely needed this. So no matter what the outcome of this, whether they stay together or break up, this was much needed because they had no direction.
We got Jonathan Corona here who says, the only bad news for me is next week I'm going to miss out on Bad Blood because I'm heading to Japan next week on Thursday for 10 days. Ah, dude, enjoy Japan, man. I've never been to Japan. Have you, Phil?
No, that's definitely one of my dream destinations. So I was like, bad news, bro. You're going to Japan. Like, you can watch Raw anytime.
And you can watch on a replay, bro. Enjoy yourself in Japan, man. That's going to be freaking awesome. We hope you have a good time, dude. Really, really do. All right. I think I thought there's a couple of super chats that I still have to get, but for the most part, we got to like everything on the show. But this is from Jonathan Corona, who says, okay, here we go. From Jonathan Corona, he says, don't worry, I have a video of the pyro and not going to lie tonight. In Ontario, we have a memory to leave forever. J1 in SoCal, in his home state of California during the fires in SoCal. Good Lord. Yeah, there you go. It's another thing to bring up here. We've just been having everything, Phil. We've had fires, so many fires lately, so many earthquakes lately. I woke up today and they were like, oh, there was an earthquake. And I was like, damn, I missed the earthquake. But there's literally been one so freaking often, it's terrifying. And we have fires and I don't know, we just have everything right now. It's the shits.
Yeah, every time somebody from the West Coast is like, well, I don't know how you guys do with that snow and that weather. I'm like, you guys got a lot going on over there, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The fires are, well, I mean, it depends on where you live, right? Because for some people, you know, you lose your homes and stuff. Like for me, I live like in an area where I'm so far from the fires that I don't really like see them as much. But you can see them though if your house is a little bit more elevated. My house is not, so that's why I don't get to see them. But you can also smell it sometimes, depending on the proximity and how close you are to the fires and stuff. But yeah, Tim Weinbrenner, did I read this? He said, "Good for Jay Braun to get a world title push." I read that one. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And then this one here is from Just Running LA, who says, what are your thoughts on Velveteen Dream? Is there anything new with Velveteen Dream?
That's definitely an interesting question. Where'd that come from? Nah, man, definitely fumbled the bag. I mean, what a massive fumble, man, because he looked like he was going to be the one at one point. He looked like he had a bright future. I don't know what else other to say than that, other than what a massive fumble for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't thought about Velveteen Dream in a really long time. So that's
very random question.
Yeah, no, that's what I was like, what happened? Did something happen? What did I miss here? What's going on? But anyways, there you guys go. Did we get everything, Phil? I think we did, right?
Oh, yeah, I think we got most of it. Pretty good episode of Raw. Very surprising ending for me. I do kind of also, when I think about it, the story of Jay finally getting his singles title win. And you have the concurrent storyline of Woods being like, I've never won the title. Wouldn't be mad if that is eventually an intercontinental title match with the history of the Usos and New Day. I really like the idea of Woods eventually challenging him for that belt.
Oh, I like where you're going, Phil. I like where you're going. That's good. So with that, I guess we'll end it there because that's a really good thought there. Alrighty, everyone. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with myself and Phil. If you guys did, please let us know in the comments section below. Go make fun of poor Sean. His team lost again. I'm like, make fun of him. How sad. Anyways.
I'm a Bears fan, so I listen. I can't make fun of him too long, but
hey, you got to take your wins when you can get them, Phil. All right. That's how it works. All right. When you can get your win, you walk with your head held high. All righty, everyone. That's the show. Please do not forgive to. Oh, we got a super chat. This is from Margie Loves, who says Phil is on his Booker game.
Booker T or literal Booker? whichever, I'll take it.
I love it. Alrighty, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Please do not forget to subscribe to Fightful. Phil, what do you got to promote? Let the people know.
We've got Grapsody, of course, coming up at its usual time slot on Saturday at noon Eastern with my not-so-Fed-friendly friend, Righteous Reg. So, yeah, make sure to tune that in. And you guys also have got a review coming up, live stream?
A watch-along.
Question marks?
A watch-along. Yeah, a watch-along. If you guys want to join Reg and I, AW Dynamite Grand Slam on Wednesday, we do our watch-along and then doing the post-show review. You guys can come check that out, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. Go live all the time. So, yeah, check that out. Make sure to give some love to Phil and Reg on Grapsody on Saturdays. And we appreciate you guys so very much. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Subscribe to the channel. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.